White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll is likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient, so millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenics. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenics is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to ProstateVideo.com. That's ProstateVideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It could change your life. ProstateVideo.com.
Jury deliberations restarting now in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey. An alternate juror is taking the place of Evelyn Maltzby, who was excused because of a previously scheduled vacation. She told reporters she believes Menendez and his friend Solomon Melgen are not guilty and speculated the case could end with a hung jury. The U.S. military is investigating two Navy SEALs over the death of a Green Beret last June in the African nation of Mali. Naval criminal investigators had confirmed to CNN last month that they were investigating two members of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6 over the death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar. Now the Daily Beast is citing two special operations sources as saying the SEALs under investigation allegedly stole money from a fund used to pay informants. It says the sources allege Melgar uncovered the theft and declined their offer to take a cut of the proceeds. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's in New York City, where he's been kicking off a 19-city tour to promote his new book, telling NBC's Today Show today that one thing he's not doing is spending a lot of time considering a run for the White House.
If the Lord Almighty came down, sat in the middle of the table and said, Joe, the nomination is yours, but you have to take it now, I would say no. Because I am just, we're working through a whole lot. We're getting there, and I want to focus on my boy.
The book is called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It details Biden's time as vice president after his son Beau was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2014. Beau Biden died the following year. The White House now says President Trump and Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte only briefly spoke about human rights when the two met during a conference in the Philippines. Duterte has faced a lot of criticism about his human rights violations for instigating a bloody drug war in his nation. President Trump said he had a great relationship with Duterte. And there are reports NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is looking to get close to $50 million a year in his new contract. ESPN reporting Goodell also wants lifetime use of a private jet and lifetime health insurance for himself and his family. The news comes just days after the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones threatened to sue the NFL if it re-upped Goodell's contract.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 41 outside our studios. And for our surrounding area, a chance of rain today, mainly before 4 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 45. Tonight, partly cloudy, low getting down into the 30s. Into the 50s on Tuesday, a nice sunny day, partly cloudy Tuesday night, low in the 30s again. Looks like more of the same the rest of the week. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers. Wednesday night, otherwise, highs will be in the 50s, and overnights down into the 30s. Maybe again on the weekend, a little rain coming away. But that could change. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Chef Bill, your host. Chef at Jake's here in Flemington, over 26 years serving the community. And today we have our guest appearance once a month. We've gotten to a nice habit here with Pete Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company in Oldwick, New Jersey. Pete assembles freshly procured dried herbs and spices. Some of us think always that fresh herbs are better, but in many cases, and finding out from Pete is getting to know him, all the uses, why somebody would need a bulk spice or herb provider. But Pete supplies many different types, right, Pete?
That's right. We are a business-to-business provider of dried herbs and spices and seasonings, most often seasonings that you really can't find easily.
What do you mean seasonings?
Well, seasonings are blends.
Pepper, right?
Yeah. No. Well, when I say seasoning, I'm talking about a blend. So, okay. For instance, you know, you might be able to buy Bouquet Garnier or Herbes de Provence or seasoned salt.
Sure.
But we also do things like biryani masala, tandoori masala. We do things like different curries. We have like five different curries that we do.
Yeah, I guess we don't often think of that because we get stuck with this plain yellow generic curry powder all the time.
Yeah, that's the
masala
English.
Is really, well, that was their interpretation. Although, according to my sister, though, lived in England for years. She's in Scotland now. But these curry recipes or blends are handed down even from generation to generation as, say, you know, an Italian grandma's meatball recipe or gravy recipe or something, or, you know, things like that. They do really do, people that get serious about the curries do mix their own.
Yeah, the interesting thing about curries is that the reason they got popular in Europe was because of the occupation of the British in India.
Oh, sure.
And they eventually started to eat a little bit more of the local cuisine, which they got used to. And some brought it back to England. They were used to a more powerful type of curry. But the indigenous population to England wasn't ready for that.
No,
so they had to tone it down a bit. And so the regular British or American type curry is fairly tasteless compared to what you can get in India. So,
and you also do spices. I think you've mentioned in the past brewers and
yep.
food manufacturers, right? People.
We
packaging.
Do small food manufacturers in the area. They, you have quite a few popular type of food manufacturing. Like there are quite a few people that do jams and jellies, and some people, some people like to do hot sauces is another trend.
Those little niches there, hot sauces. It seems like. You can always find a new one, and they're all a little bit different, you know.
They're different, but it's the interesting thing is that they become like a popular thing, and so you find several hot sauce companies. They even have festivals around here in Huntington. There's and even in I guess was it Long Branch? There's a festival for hot sauces. So it's those kinds of of course they use chili. That's the base.
Okay.
But, if they want to add their spin on it, you've got to start using
the
flavors.
Yeah, it seems like there was always, a lot of things we do, like over-hopped beer in this country. Americans always, we all want to go more and more, and it seems once people extracted that ghost chili oil, sometimes it's just too much. It's one-sided.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what you do with your blends there, you try to balance things. Like everything, it should be in balance.
It should be in balance. But what we're all about is we're trying to bring authenticity. So I deal with, Egyptian or Indian restaurants, and they don't. They're looking for something that tastes like they think it should taste like, tastes like home to them.
Oh, the memory, yes.
Yeah. So what I need to do is to replicate what it would be like to buy that spice in their country, because that's what they would use to cook in their restaurants.
And, of course, where the cuisine is developed, of course, the spices are probably more readily available in a good form, let's say, you've said,
Sometimes,
it's all dried, but still age does matter. Are you getting it that's been sitting in a warehouse for 2 years? and your forte is bringing the dried product, but freshly dried.
We don't stock thousands of pounds of anything. So we only bring in what we know we're going to turn around quickly.
Yes.
And as a result, we buy fresh stuff all the time. Now, we also try to time things according to the harvest. So certain herbs and spices might come in in March, and they were harvested in February.
Okay.
And some of them are harvested in August, and they come in October. Because remember, they come in on a slow boat.
Yes.
So you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. But that's another thing we try to do. We try to time the our purchase to the harvest, so that way we get that year's harvest.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like dried legumes or beans, you can get dried, but sometimes I think that's why people have to soak them so much. I've found if I get, say, an imported cannellini bean, it cooks up much quicker than, say, a Great Northern that's been hanging around the store for a year.
It's a little petrified, maybe.
Yeah. So, and it's easier for us at the wholesale level also to get things a little bit more in a
exactly.
timely fashion.
That's the benefit of it all. The of course our prices will fluctuate with the market. So and we try to keep our prices as low as we can, and so they're low enough that we can't absorb big changes in the market, so our prices do fluctuate. Some of the bigger houses, they put on a pretty high price, and whatever happens to the market, it's still underneath their cut of what they need for a profit. So we try to keep it low.
So I like seeing fluctuations, but they probably have a price point that they know customers are willing to pay. And everything's $3.99 for a little jar, whether it contains an ounce or 6 ounces.
Right.
Just adjust the weight, because everything should be, the lower end, that everything is 99 cents. Whether you're buying salt or pepper, whatever you're buying, it's all 99 cents.
Yep.
And I've found, too, from my wholesaler, different levels even in the between a brand, say a well-known brand like McCormick's, but then there's a second label of spices and herbs, and you know the sales are they try to say, oh, this is more economical for you, but I noticed something like the rosemary, for example, the needles aren't quite as long, or you know the is the black pepper ground too finely? I mean, is there are different quality levels.
Absolutely.
Probably like anything, you've got your premium cut, whatever, like say thyme leaves, but then you get a second one. Do people mix other stuff in there that shouldn't be in there? I mean, what's the labeling rules like?
Adulteration is as old as the oldest profession. So,
yeah.
And it's not uncommon that foreign countries do adulteration, and it does happen. However, there are quite a few importers in the U.S. And large spice houses as well that really work against having that happen to their product. So you'll see some of them actually have agents abroad that will
it has to pass muster over there
right,
first, yeah.
Before it comes over, because it's very costly to send it back.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you want to head it off with the nuts. Well, even honey, I've seen that sometimes. There's always these scams out there. I guess
exactly.
Anything.
But it does happen.
You know, we're
you
seeing
know.
It with, you know, you see it with wine. You see it with, you know, there's yep. getting this labeling, which, you know, sometimes we think we overdo it in this country. But I think the information, I mean, I think the truth in even on our menus, you know, telling the truth levels the playing field.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody will make a claim that's not true and gain an advantage. That's what it's all about. So we do need some kind of regulation.
It catches up with them.
We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and then today we're going to go into something seasonal. We'll do the poultry herbs, basically sage, rosemary, thyme, maybe savory, and spice blends, poultry seasoning.
And marjoram.
Marjoram, depending on, and you can use either or any or all of them, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
We're back at the table here with Pete Nershow from Black River Spice and Tea Company. So we're thinking about, I guess we call them poultry herbs. So Pete, you know, why do we, I guess we think of it this time of year as Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I know in our family, those are the two times a year we had turkey. It was a month apart and that was the tradition. But yeah, so what are basically, now you talk about seasoning blends. So poultry seasoning is one we see all the time.
That's correct.
So yeah. What are the basic herbs in poultry seasoning?
Well, they're, typically what you'll find is you'll find things like oregano, sage, rosemary, marjoram, savory, thyme. And then you'll see that they'll add a spice or two like pepper or ginger. And those are the typical blends.
Okay. And those... and. So I always thought, is there something, is there a common denominator through these herbs?
Yeah, you know, white meat is typically less less tasty or not as strong tasting as some red meats are. The red meats could be very, very savory and bold on their own. You know, you eat a steak, sometimes all you need is a little salt and it's good.
Correct, yeah.
You know, but... that's not necessarily the case with bird, unless you're eating a game bird. But normally you want to season it because the gamey taste is maybe not quite what you're looking for alone. And so normally what you do is you use just a complementary type of seasoning, and that is going to be herbs. So you'll give it a little bit of a complementary soft flavoring. And typically you'll use herbs like marjoram or savory or rosemary. Rosemary can be a little strong.
Yes, that piney. But I think of like the woods or the forest especially with the rosemary.
Rosemary.
The thyme seems to work with everything, I guess.
Thyme is very good with bird and with carbs actually. There are quite a few baked goods that, like breads, that will use things like rosemary and thyme and those.
Sure, yeah, you see that more and more now, especially a nice.
So you complement with carbohydrates.
Flatbreads. Yeah, so what I'm looking at, I mean, the three out of these are a member of the mint family?
Yeah, savory is one of them. There's thyme.
Yeah, sage is one.
And sage is the other. Yeah. There are quite a few that really you don't think that they're related, but when you get to the family,
it's fascinating. Like you know, you think, well, they're all. I mean, they're used in conjunction, just like the warming spices we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You can use just one, but generally there's. And you explain, you know, the different notes that the spices hit.
Yeah, they complement. It's a medley that complements and gives you
And I'm looking with the poultry seasoning, this little mixture. I love spice mixtures anyway because you don't have to carry each individual herb or spice and let it, you know, go bad or you know, diminish in quality.
Right.
If you can
right.
buy a little bit of a blend. So...
since this is Thanksgiving time, and we're looking at seasoning the bird, and like we said, normally you'll see that we'll be using things like herbs to do that. How about a little Thanksgiving trivia? Anyone know the first Thanksgiving when that occurred? You want to
Date, what was it?
You know who did it?
1600s.
Right? Yeah, yeah, 1621. That was the Pilgrims, right? They got together with the Wampanoag Indians, and they had their first Thanksgiving, which included wild turkey.
Yeah, that's because I thought, of course, you know, where they were up in New England, they probably had lobster too.
You know that there's a competing theory that the actual and that particular Thanksgiving was sort of loosely recorded in history, but there's actually a more solid recording of a Thanksgiving that actually happened 2 years earlier in Virginia.
Okay.
Some Dutch. I'm sorry, not Dutch, but English settlers to Virginia were they had been brought over by what was called the London Company to create a settlement, and one of the tenets of the contract was that the day that they land soon thereafter, that particular day would be commemorated as a day of Thanksgiving, and it's those words, Thanksgiving, in the actual contract. So in Virginia, they'll argue that we have proof that the first Thanksgiving was in Virginia.
Yeah, well, you figure once they landed, they're probably thankful just to be alive after the journeys there. But the use of these herbs, though, probably mm-hmm. is then from our settlers' roots, probably more from the England or that culture.
Quite a few herbs are, well, in general, herbs are cold weather type of seasoning.
Oh, yeah, so you don't depend
on... So you don't have to go to India for them.
So that's what you used because that's what was there.
That's what was there.
Okay, because some of these sound Italian, some you see them in French cooking, apparently stuffing, you know, things with other ingredients. Earliest... that we can figure, which may have happened earlier, but it's the Romans, you know, Italian cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the stuffings were not bread. There were other vegetables or other meats or some of the, you know, byproduct. Could be cereal, but... So our bread stuffing, though, it seems... I always thought the stuffing... I mean, one of the things that made it taste so good, of course, that was inside the bird because it's getting all those juices.
That's right.
And then, but then you're saying, okay, so... But if the trouble is getting the stuffing to the right temperature, you've got to overcook the bird.
Yeah,
the
current thought I think is that they say don't put the stuffing in the bird, do it separately. I think that's currently what they try to.
Well, it's safer. I mean, you know, they say we used to do it, and plus you never have enough. You know, they always want more stuffing than you have. Turkey, right?
That's true.
So, but I've seen like some like Irish, you know, you could make a potato stuffing. You can do wild, you know, especially game ends, wild rice or a wild and white rice blend, but still using some of these herbs. I think even a long time ago, Frugal Gourmet had you're making like kind of a Mediterranean potato salad, you know, cooked potatoes and capers and olives and putting that inside a chicken, and then you just cut the chicken in half, and you've got your chicken and your potatoes. Kind of a cool recipe.
Huh.
But dressing, I know the first restaurant I worked at, turkey was on the menu, and Plainville Turkey Farm, which is still a brand. I think it's more down south now. But the turkey farm was about 14 miles outside of town, so we had it on the menu. And it looked like a turkey roll, but it was really like just a 60-40 dark and light meat. It was a boneless half turkey cooked together. There's no filler in it or anything like that. You could hand slice it. There was grain to it. And that's what we could use for the day-to-day. And then the buffet, of course, we had turkeys every week on the buffet. But you get quarts of stock from them. But we always had to make dressing. Dressing. Whatever. Yeah. We know the stuffing is inside, dressing's on the side. It's kind of synonymous now. But using these spices, mm-hmm. I remember one time we didn't have any poultry seasoning. I had to make a batch of dressing. What am I going to do? And I remember reading a label. I was, you know, always been a label reader, Bell's seasoning. And I kind of remembered what it was. So I went to the store. When I found enough of the herbs, it was probably a little heavy on the sage, and I think I had to throw a little parsley in there to give it some of the color. But I found enough things to make the stuffing with. And so, but Bell's has been kind of, you know, I mean, everybody has their favorite, but you talked to the Bell's
people,
right?
Yeah, I did. I contacted them, and, you know, Bell's has been around quite a long time. As a matter of fact, you know, if you think about Thanksgiving, it was nationalized as a holiday back in 1863 by Lincoln.
Okay, yeah.
So Bell's has actually started selling their blend 4 years after that. The guy who opened the company, William G. Bell, opened it in Boston with his brother, Albert. And they started out with a provisions and grocer type of business. And they made this blend, which... They claimed was good with poultry and certain other meats, but it got very popular with poultry. And after a while, the demand for the blend sort of overshadowed their grocery business.
Yeah, sure, just do one thing and do it well, right?
That's right. So they started selling it, you know, in cans. In 1867, they started. Putting it in cans, and that's how Bell's was originally sold. I don't know if you know this, but since it was this year, this year will mark its 150th anniversary at being sold. So, since it was 1867,
right?
All right, 150 years later is 2017. So this Thanksgiving is sort of like their 150th anniversary.
Yeah, and of course there's many other poultry seasonings out there. I'm not trying to, you know, I mean, we're not really sponsored.
No, we're not.
But we can do whatever we want, right? So is there a proportion? I mean, are they some decidedly different, or is there some secret thing in there that makes
there
it
is
different?
A secret? There is a secret. Booklet, so it's a trade secret. It's not a patented blend,
right?
And it's in the hands. It's sort of like McDonald's special sauce or whatever.
Sure,
it's called.
Yeah.
That particular ratio is a trade secret. But it's interesting to see that, you know, if you Google something like Bell's and Bell's type of knockoffs, copycats. How many of those recipes use things other than the seven herbs and spices that are listed as ingredients? Now, legally, you're supposed to list what's in there in descending order of amount.
Correct, but below a certain percent, do you not have to list then?
When it comes to blend seasonings and things like that, when you sell seasonings. The law is very specific. You have to list everything.
Okay, so
but
you
if you
can
make
look
a
on...
sauce with a sauce and right. you have several spices, the ones that are in small amount,
I think it's less than 2%.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can say other spices.
Well, that's where they get you, especially the sauces, and also that's where some ingredients hide that you might not want, like MSG, if you're sensitive to the monosodium glutamate, it can fall under natural flavors.
That's true. That's true.
And that's where some of the stuff's, you know.
Makes sense. I mean, you know, people have to know what they're putting in their mouth.
Yeah, and you don't want to, but you don't want to give away the store either. But, yeah, the spice blends like Old Bay and things like that, you can pretty much see. But there's still the proportion. I mean, it tells you what's in there, but, you know.
In descending order.
Is it one part of this and two parts of this and whatever? I mean, you make a poultry seasoning, right?
We do make our own poultry seasoning. But it, like I said, it's just interesting to see that when you look at the copycats for something like Bell's,
yeah.
You'd be surprised the things that people say. Oh, it's, you know, add this. You have to add this to get the same flavor. It's a lot of those things aren't listed as ingredients. They're not in there.
they think there's some hidden thing that they're not finding.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So when we're using these, I see some recipes that call for chopping the fresh herbs. And I've done it. I've made a savory sage bread pudding one time. It's kind of a it was kind of a riff on a fall Thanksgiving type meal. So instead of dressing or stuffing, I tried to do make a bread pudding just with your custard, but with sage, not sweet bread pudding for dessert. It was a side dish. You know, it was something a little bit different. It was, not as herby. It was pretty much sage, a little bit of onion and celery. But advantage to using the dried, because I see poultry seasoning are always powdered, too. They're not.
Right.
It's not like a jerk spice blend where you see some leaves and you see some powders. And
right.
Those are always hard to mix up, too. Get them because of the specific gravities, I guess.
You powder them to a uniform amount graininess simply because they're going to be folded into something like breadcrumbs and other.
You want it homogenous.
So you want it homogenous. Yeah. You don't want little bits of this and bits of that. So that's basically why they do that, and it's ground to at least. I get 300, 250 mesh in some cases. Typically, though, like Bell's is probably closer to 100 mesh, which is just like a very fine powder, but not fine-grained powder.
So then they would actually sieve that, and then there'd be some things remaining, to regrind?
It depends on the process. For herbs... they use a process called something called a hammer mill.
Okay.
And basically all it is a chamber that's got this spinning block in it, and it comes awfully close to these edges that are built within the chamber, and anything that gets caught between that block and that edge gets smashed and torn.
Okay,
it gets hammered.
Right.
So they call it a hammer mill. So and then what they have is at some point there's an egress for this stuff, and it's made up of very small holes. So depending on the mesh size you want, you put in the appropriate size egress. So you might have a plate with very, very tiny holes. So the only thing that escapes is anything that size or smaller.
Okay.
So that's how you would make these things uniformly. Yeah.
So advantage to using these dried herbs over using fresh. Is there...
Oh, big advantage. There's a push towards using fresh herbs and spices. Fresh herbs at least. And there is the positive aspect of that is that there are quite a few flavor notes in fresh that you will not find in dried.
Okay.
But the negative is that you need at least twice to three times as much of the fresh herb.
Yeah, that's
to
my
get
rule
the
of
same
thumb. Usually
flavor.
3 to 1, yeah.
Yeah, to get the same flavor as the dried. And that's because when you add fresh, you're adding a lot of water weight.
Yes, okay.
Okay, whereas the dried, it's just the solid
the essence,
and
yeah.
the oil.
Okay.
And so, you remember, what is it? People are made up of, 94%
yeah.
water or something
right.
like
Same
that?
With most things.
Yeah, so whatever that number is. But you can see that when you boil it down and you get rid of the water, you're pretty much, just the flavor oils and just the solids. And so it's going to be a lot stronger.
And it mixes through more evenly also.
And it mixes through more evenly,
yeah.
sure.
All right. So speaking of that, for the turkey, do you season the outside? Do you season the inside?
Yeah,
it's
interesting.
Compound butter and put it under the skin?
It's really, there's some really interesting information out there. You can actually do this in three levels. Like there's I think it was the Food Network website I was looking at. I believe it was Food Network, and they were talking about seasoning the brine that you use to brine the bird. You know, some people will brine the bird.
Yeah, I still don't. I know there's an advantage to it. I still don't get that. If you're careful cooking, I don't know.
Well,
I watch the salt content on things, especially.
Right.
And yes, it tastes good. And I've used brine products. I've made brine products. But a lot of times, I just want to taste what's there. And I know the advantages. You can't. It's hard to overcook it or whatever. But for infusing a flavor. I could see, yes. But it just takes a while.
The point of the brining, I mean, there's a couple of claims. One claim is that what it does do is it helps to draw out a lot of the blood in the bird, and so you get more, the dark meat is lighter. You hear that.
Well, commercially
I don't know if
processed,
how true that is. But.
No, back when we were, you know, an arrow through the air or a shotgun pellet, you know, when the animal would stop, the heart would stop, then everything's left in there. But
right.
The way our process works, of course, their blood, like you heard, running like a chicken with your head cut off. Well, that's what happens. The nerves still work, but the heart is still pumping, and it gets that out of there. And I guess I used to do with venison that, of course, is harvested that way. It's hunted, and we would put it in salt water, tepid salt water on the stove, even and bring it up to just like your skin temperature, and then rinse it, and then we would treat the venison like that, stew meat. And when you cooked it up, you couldn't tell. It was like it was almost like veal shoulder or pork shoulder, you know, because we'd leached out a lot of the myoglobin. I mean, that's the thing. There's myoglobin and hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is blood, and that clots
right. When
it heats, coagulates, I should say. But that's you don't find that in our meat. We find myoglobin, which is a red pigment, but it's not blood. Yeah. But when people say blood rare, there's no blood in the meat. It's just it's myoglobin.
Right, right.
So you work to get
that. Well, you hear that as well. But the other benefit, supposed benefit of brining, remember, and I think you asked this once a while ago, is how do you characterize salt? Salt is really a flavor enhancer. It can act as a savory component. And so the interesting thing about salt is that whatever flavor you have in there, salt helps in moderate amount, helps bring it out.
Right, so it's like a carrier for it.
Yeah.
It probably reacts on your palate.
Whatever it does, exactly. Yeah. It does, salt will bring out flavor, help to bring it. Too much, of course, then it's salty. But the important thing is that if the meat has that light salting in it to begin with, whatever flavoring you're using becomes supposedly a little bit more perceptible.
Yeah, well, the brine will do that because osmosis, that whole process, you know, salt's carrying the flavors in. You know, first it draws moisture out,
right.
So you've got to make sure you brine it long enough. You don't want to catch it when it's still drew the moisture out. You have to wait longer and let the flavoring go back in.
And that's why some of these brining recipes use different herbs and spices. Like I just came across a couple. Like there's an orange tea and bourbon blend that goes into a brine. They use orange zest. Black tea, bay leaves, clove, peppercorn, and some bourbon. And when they do the brining, those things are also added in. There's another one with juniper berries, black peppercorn, bay leaves, and one lemon zest.
Yeah, it's like you're getting towards sauerbraten territory.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I guess we put the vinegar in that. That's more like a pickled process.
But people still will brine with certain spices, and like you said, the idea, the part of the process is that you have a barrier between the inside of the meat and the outside brine solution. One is saltier than the other. And the direction of flow is towards dilution.
Right.
So the salty brine with all the flavored components, like the juniper brine mix or the orange bourbon mix, they get carried along with the water. They get carried in the direction of dilution.
Right.
So the meat comes out of the bird, the water comes out of the bird.
And then it goes back.
And then there it strikes an equilibrium. And,
right.
And well, then that equilibrium brings back some of the flavor.
Yeah, and so because what I know, I guess for thicker pieces it might make sense because you can baste. What about injection, though? You see all that, especially with the deep-fried turkey, right?
Yeah, it's cheating.
You see the barbecue guys doing it.
Those are people that can't wait for the natural process. So they
bacon is done like that. And
it's true.
And corned beef briskets, anything. They have the jacquard, that really the fine needles, so you can't really see the holes. They're more like little thin slots, but that allows the brine or the cure or whatever to work faster.
Yeah, that's more of a pressure principle. I mean, if you inject something in, then you're creating this localized
ball in one spot.
Yeah. And so naturally the pressure is going to try to subside, so it has to spread out to alleviate that pressure buildup there. And, you know, so it winds up making its way through the meat.
So doing it, actually, so injecting, if you didn't want all the salt, you didn't, you know, you could probably do it without salt and just get your flavoring in
there. The other thing is the
compound butter and stuff it under the skin, and that kind of traps it in there. I mean, that's a common technique that we've used with poultry.
And that's also another opportunity for people to do spicing. Quite often you'll see that they say, don't just take the butter alone and start buttering the bird. Mix it with some spices and then brush it. So there's all kinds, chipotle maple, Asian ginger, paprika, all kinds.
All right, we've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table with Pete, and we'll figure out this poultry seasoning thing.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we're back at the table here, talking about poultry seasoning. So recap. So bells, besides the herbs, there's ginger in there, I believe.
There's ginger and pepper. Those are the only two spices.
Yeah, and I see like the one I use at the restaurant has nutmeg in it. So I guess you could throw one ringer in there, I guess, besides the herbs.
Well, it, you could.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do too many. But,
there are a couple. Basically, it's herbs with some complements of spicing. So yeah, nutmeg.
So don't overspice. You want more of the herbs.
Yeah, it's herbs are what goes with poultry better.
So I've used in poultry seasoning for me, whenever I'm cooking with mushrooms, for example, if I'm making a duck sel, that could be used as a stuffing, but I will put poultry seasoning in there because I like those herbs. I like the rosemary and thyme and everything, but you know you don't want the needles in there. This is a finely chopped mixture, so.
Right, right.
I use poultry seasoning.
Oh.
I've put a little bit in clam chowder, New England clam chowder. Don't tell people in New England that. But and well, the thing is, it shouldn't be dominant though, because thyme would be an herb we would use, or bay leaf or something, you know. But then you could either use a branch and fish it out, you know, or use a cheesecloth because you know you may not want all those herbs floating around. But that little that dash of poultry seasoning, to me, if I'm looking for those herbs. And I can find a mixture that has it instead of trying to...
Sort of like a bouquet garni type of...
Yeah, and I just found if you're, you know, you cook with your nose and your palate and say, oh, you know, maybe that would work in there. I mean, not everything works, but, you know, those are a couple of other uses because we use it all the time. I use it in a sauce. It's kind of like a secret barbecue sauce. It's really made for chicken. And it does have poultry seasoning in it. That's one of the 18 ingredients, people. If you wait long enough, you'll find all the rest. But it's one that you know you wouldn't think of in there. But it is a sauce that was developed just for mainly for barbecue chicken. So the poultry seasoning went in there.
Poultry. I mean, you could even use it in a lot of breads. I mean, it goes well with carbs. You know, if you think about. Like some of the Middle Eastern types of flatbreads,
yes.
Like dukkha or za'atar. They got, I think it's za'atar has thyme in it, and so I think it's dukkha also. Not sure. I have to think on that. But you know, the herbs are work very well with carbs because there's very little in terms of flavor. It's lightly flavored. The carbs.
Does anything not work with carbs? All our spices work with baking.
Gee, that's a good question.
Yeah. So anyway, so stuffing the bird. So what I picked this up years ago. So I stopped stuffing the bird, and it was a friend of my father's. His name was Corny O'Leary. He had a radio show at WFBL in Syracuse years and years ago. He came over. He said, "I'm going to show you how to cook turkey." And it was a fairly, like, a, you know, a 12, this smaller bird. He cooked it in a brown paper bag, which it would be questionable now because of the recycled materials in brown paper. We have the roasting bags now that work.
Those. Yeah.
You know, so the roasting bags, even though they're plastic, they're semi-permeable. You do get some browning. People would think, oh, I'm putting it in plastic. But like parchment or anything like that, it allows the steam to come out. So anyway, so and he said, my stuffing's inedible. I'm like, all right, watching him. So he rough chops onion and celery. And he puts an orange cut in half, squeezed in there, a lemon, you know, some of the herbs. And that was the stuffing inside the cavity. All these things that his thing is, I want to add moisture back to it. I'm not drawing moisture out. Dressing is on the side. So you have that. Then you season the bird, crimp it up in the paper bag. Of course, the bag doesn't burn as long as there's water on the other side,
right.
Meaning the bird, that's not going to burn. So you take it out, and now the advantage to that, I mean, you're not getting a lot of fond, like the browning in the pan, but you're getting some great drippings that are in that bag because of that citrus and onion and celery and any herbs you throw in the middle there. The sauce comes out really nice. You know, you make your stock on the side, but that especially with that citrus in there, that little bit of orange and lemon.
Nice.
So when I do home, if I'm stuffing the bird or even a chicken, it's always just with vegetables, something moist, and then dressings on the side.
Is there anything to this idea of actually cooking the bird flipped the other way, so breast side down. My wife does that, and I'm not sure.
You're trying to simulate, you may be simulating a rotisserie. I've seen that. You put it in the rack, put breast side down.
She claims that whatever is in the cavity has to go on the meat of the breast and doesn't just fall out. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, gravity does help. Plus, you're not having the, and if you don't use a rack, you're not having the two little oysters there, the favorite. You know, I mean, actually, I guess that's what makes them good, but they're sitting in the pan with the juices. No, that you're trying to, I mean, turning it, and I've seen that, and you're trying to kind of, you know, simulate kind of a rotisserie process, which is good. The juices are, you know, moving around. Most recently now, because I usually have to cook a quick bird before I leave the restaurant for round two when I go home. It's like I'm never with my family on Thanksgiving. I'm always working. So the butterfly or spatchcock, and that's become the rage now in the last few years. I've been doing it now. I did it out of necessity. So you take the turkey and you cut out the backbone, which now you have for stock, which is great, and you open it up. Flat. Tuck the wing tips under. And I'm telling you, the bird, because you've taken that backbone on, of course, lightens up the weight. 400 degrees, even 425, I'm like broiling a chicken. And in 90 minutes, I'll have a turkey cooked.
Really?
With crispy skin, because you've cooked it fast. And all the meat's done because you've laid it out. So the thickness that has to penetrate is only... You know, the breast and the leg meat cook evenly.
There's no cavity that
it's
has
like,
to get hot.
Think of a you know, a grilled chicken. Well, this is just a big chicken. And advantage to that is it's not taking a lot of space in your oven. If you spread it out, you also got down to underneath that to bake your casseroles with. So, but it really, for the rush job, I mean, you need a good knife, you know, butcher skills. But you open it up like that, and I don't do it any other way now. You know, the restaurant's different. We have to cook the whole birds. We slow cook them overnight. Good product. But for home use, just lay it open and and do it quickly. Not this long, slow cooking. It's
really?
It's more like a fast, I say 400 degrees or better.
Huh.
You know, so that's what I do. I like to, you know, the butter under. Yeah.
Huh.
So that's it. Well, Pete, thanks for stopping by. It's been a quick hour. You got to let people know how to get a hold of you here.
Well, you can come to my website, www.blackriverspice.com, or you can write to us, email info@blackriverspice.com. And we have a Facebook page, so if you look us up on Facebook, you'll find us as well.
Yes, you've got a good little site there, and the podcasts are there, and it's pretty cool to have a producer like you in the area, like somebody that plays with the big boys, right?
Well, we're one of the only ones in the area, so we're actually really enjoying it. We get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, it's nice to have a business that you don't need to be in a congested metropolitan area to be able to. With shipping and everything now, it's much easier, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're signing off Chef Bill's Table. Next week we'll deal more with, I guess, Thanksgiving. The New York Times has already been on it for 2 weeks now, so we'll be ready.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new poll shows Alabama Democrat Doug Jones with his first lead over Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore in the Senate race in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against Moore. As we hear from Sharon Reed, Jones now leads 46-42%.
Moore consistently polled better than Jones before sexual misconduct allegations against the Senate candidate were published by the Washington Post last Thursday. Last night in Alabama, Moore promised to sue the Post, and on Saturday, he questioned the timing of the story. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll's likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have